Well, let's take our Bibles and turn over to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. Good to be in the house of God. Glad y'all are here. Genesis 28. As we've been looking in this chapter, we see the theme of this chapter is caught. And of course, you know Jacob got caught over here, and it plays on over in Genesis 28. We saw his daddy send him out of town at his mother's request over to her brother's house to get him away from Esau, who wanted to kill him. And Esau wanted to kill him because he stole not only his birthright, but got his blessing too. He tricked him out of both of them. And Esau, of course, he overhears what Isaac said to Jacob about marrying out of his race and so forth, which Esau had already done by this point. And Esau goes directly to a place he was not supposed to go, which was Ishmael's family, which is the other side of Abraham. And as we look at this and we see this, you ever wonder why it is so important for children to obey their parents? You reckon those old people might actually know something? They might know something. It might be that they didn't get that old being stupid. It might be you so stupid you don't get that old. Listen to this. If somebody comes up and says, "Well, my old man or my old lady, they crazy." Well, they might be, and you might have drove them there. But do know this, they may know something about some things. And they might be trying to help you, not keep you from having fun. Very possible. It's very possible when your parents said, "Don't go out drinking. There's a bunch of stuff happens at 10 o'clock. You don't even need to be outside at that time." There may be something to that. There might be something to it when you bring something home that needs to be sprayed, dipped, and wormed, young lady, that when they see that thing, they say, "Don't you bring that thing back to my house, and don't you go nowhere else with him."
That's right.
There may be something to that thing. It may be, a young man, that when you bring a girl home and your daddy pulls her aside and says, "Don't bring that back to my house," and he calls it a that. Yeah. Right. He's trying to be nice, but he means don't bring that thing back home. And as we look tonight, we're going to start looking at verse number 6. Your Bible says, "When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, he sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, 'Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan.' And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath," it says, "the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife." Now we read that and we get to the picture of what's going on here. And I'll preach to you tonight a simple, simple message on the habits of a hypocrite. The habits of a hypocrite. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you and we pray you'll help us tonight and show us this book. Help us, God, to understand you better. Help us, God, and give us instruction from your word. Lord, there may be some things tonight said that would change somebody's direction here on earth that'll help them, Lord, to reach others for Christ. And I pray, God, that you'll do that. Lord, we pray our understanding be open according to Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." We pray, God, that you'll just continue to move on us. Lord, give us this great understanding by the Holy Spirit, Lord God, through these scriptures. And God, I pray you'd help me preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we ask all this, believing it all, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we look tonight, Esau is a type of worldliness and hypocrisy in religion. Worldliness and hypocrisy in religion. And as you study this thing, you'll notice that somebody that's worldly and they're a hypocrite, they're going to have basically some habits of this hypocrisy in them. Now, a habit, now listen to this, a habit is something you think you can't quit, but you can quit it at any time. You ever heard these people say, "Well, I'm an addict"? It may be you're not an addict. Maybe you've developed a habit. I've heard people say, "Well, drugs in my day is not like the drugs in your day, old man." Guess what? They're the same thing. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life.
Yep.
And what you complaining about anyway? You're made more than conquerors in Christ. Right. Unless you're not in Christ. I know guys that right now, they're probably sitting in a church somewhere just like this one, and they're 2 weeks away from falling out, going to rehab, getting pumped up full of religion, then going right back through the same process again. This guy told me one time he picked a guy up on the side of the road that had a rucksack with him full of his clothes and a couple of folders in his hand. And he gave the guy a ride. He said, "Where are you going to?" He said, "Well, I'm headed down here to such and such county to the rehab place." And he said, "What's them folders for?" He said, "That's all the rehab places I go to." He said, "You got that many?" He said, "Well, if I fall off the wagon or jump in the wagon, whichever one it is, I forget which one it is. Don't care to know either. You just go along with me here. I don't believe in none of that stuff, no way." He said, "If I fall off the wagon or get on the wagon," he said, "I know I can go back to this place if I hadn't been there in 6 months." See, they keep up with that stuff. It's a dangerous habit to keep up with. When somebody tells me, "I can't quit such and such, I'm addicted," and the addiction's real, it's a disease. Bernie Sanders told me. Well, there's a fountain of truth right there if we ever heard one. He's the only guy running for office wants to double minimum wage and then tax you after you get there. It'll take you back down to where you was before you started and everything else going up around you. What do you call that? Communism. But you're wrong. He's a socialist. No, you're wrong. He's a communist.
Right.
Listen, let me give you a little time out and leave you a little history lesson here. Those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. That's what Winston Churchill said. Okay? Right? If we go back on videos and watch videos of that same guy when he had hair that was black, he went to Cuba and praised Fidel Castro in the 1980s. Who was a? And he said, "The way they do things down there is just so perfect." Is that right? That perfect. Why is it boatloads of them keep coming to Miami if it's so perfect over there? I'll tell you why. It ain't.
That's right.
Communism is another way to say dictatorship, just with different letters. You know who thinks a dictatorship's okay? Thank you. The dictator does. And if he thinks it's okay, then you got to think it's okay. After all, he's your wise God-appointed leader, right? This is the mentality we're losing here.
Yeah.
We go past the pages of the politician. We get to the pages of Scripture. And we see that habits show up over here. And they're the same habits this guy's always had. Same ones. You may have these habits. While we're not dealing with drugs tonight, particularly in our text, we are dealing with the fact of people that come along and they have bad habits. You know what a bad habit is? Talking while I'm preaching. I don't like it.
Come on.
We had a little Mormon girl come to this church one time. She kept psst, to the little people she was trying to convert. I said, "Hey, quit that talking back there."
That's right.
Scared to death. You know, the problem is they don't do that in school anymore. Her family was rich and they wouldn't do it to her. Guess what? I don't care if you're rich or not. Unless you're saying amen or something, I don't care what you're talking about. Don't be carrying on a conversation while I'm preaching.
Right.
And it's usually the preacher's kids that do that stuff. Get your paddle out, ma'am. You whoop him here. Amen and amen and amen. Brother Fane, you didn't like it when you was pastoring, trying to do surgery 3 times a week, and here they are passing notes and all this other stuff. Well, they don't do it anymore here. They just send texts now, so stay off your phone while I'm preaching too. Amen and amen. Say, "But I got my Bible on it." Get you a Bible and quit your whining.
Right.
You know you ain't looking at your Bible like that. You know you're looking at Facebook or Twitter or what's the name of the things? I done lost the names of them. You young people help me out here.
Snapchat.
Instagram.
TikTok.
Who?
TikTok.
TikTok?
What?
Used to, that was on the clock, and they made it an app now, huh?
Yeah,
boy, am I behind. I ain't even heard of some of these.
And they TikTok their hours the way you're looking
at. Yeah. And here's a problem. Here's a problem that people run into with this Bible on your phone thing. You can't read your Bible for the messages coming in. Who knows? Right. You may have the latest junk mail from somebody else. Could it be? You say, I'm not addicted. It's just a habit. Exactly. I found out something one day. I left my phone at the house. And we drove off. And my wife said, "I got mine in case of emergency," or whatever, you know. I didn't miss it.
Yep.
Got back and nobody called me anyway. I had some cool emails come in, but nobody called. You get in a bad habit sometimes. You can't keep your focus. The average TV show that does the best in ratings is how long? 21 minutes. That's without the commercials. Now, can you imagine, over the course of television history of the last 70 years, a 21-minute show is now the number one thing as far as over the whole time. So, oh, you mean sitcoms. I don't know what you can call them whatever you want to call them. That's how our attention span gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Now, I preach 50 minutes and you're about to die. Wonder why that is. You've developed some bad habits. Some people develop bad habits reading the Bible. You know what they do? They read something into the Bible that's not there. Cults are the world's worst. One cult, every time they see water, they say baptism. And every time they see baptism, they say water. How many of you know already that you can't interchange them things just like that every time? Right. Baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, not a drop of water there. The flood took over the world, killed everybody. Oh, baptism. See what I'm saying? It's a bad habit to get into. You can quit it. Here's another one. This is one of my things I get on, and some of you are going to get sideways with me. The viewing audience will say I'm a legalist, and that's okay. I'm good with that. I've been called worse. But here lately, it seems like there's been this big push to ignore drugs. Have you noticed it? You know what they're doing? Attacking cigarettes. Now, I'm against smoking. Y'all know that. I don't think you should smoke. It hurts your lungs, hurts your body, it hurts everybody around you.
Right.
But why have we got cigarettes on trial and it's never caused somebody to wreck their car into a family of four and kill them?
Right.
But we let liquor go by and don't say a word.
Yep.
When I was a kid, there wasn't no commercials on TV about liquor and beer and all this other stuff like there are now. Now all of a sudden it's an epidemic.
Yep.
Listen. You know the guy, the Marlboro guy, the Marlboro cowboy? You know what he died of? Lung cancer. That's what that does for you.
Yeah.
Never seen a man with lung cancer drive off the side of the road, kill him and his family in the car with him. Mm-hmm. You get my point here? Some things are habits. And then some people are just flat out hypocrites. Now, according to the English dictionary and what you see in the Bible of the word hypocrite, you're going to see a hypocrite as somebody that plays a role. It's an actor, okay? Yep. And we've got so many actors in church now, there's no need to turn on the TV.
Right.
We got some people acting like tough guys, but yet a 4'9" woman would boss that big old 6'10" thing around like he's this tall. He acts like he's a tough guy. He's really down here.
Yeah.
Even better, a man goes through Iwo Jima, Nagasaki, fights all in World War II, and as he's raising his kid's telling him what to do at 14 years of age. Mm-hmm. He ain't even got a job. When you was 14, you had two jobs and walked uphill both ways to get to it.
In the snow.
Barefooted, yeah. There's so many play actors that when it comes time to preaching, they say, let's have a drama in its place or a skit. After all, we got all the good actors here. Hollywood ain't got nothing on us. Here's the habits of a hypocrite. Number one habit of a hypocrite, we see literally, watch this, we see the compensation of that hypocrite. We see his hypocrisy. Okay? If you look down at verse 6, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him away from thence, and that he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take the daughters of Canaan and so forth there, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. Now, we see his hypocrisy. He looked over at Jacob and thought, they're telling him to do that? He stole from me. He stole from me. Apparently it pays to be a hypocrite on this side of the grave.
Yeah.
It don't pay on the other side, but on this side it pays.
Come on.
You ever want a good life? Pretend to be something you're not. You'll make a lot of money at it. Some of you are trying to figure out how to do this thing. His compensation was this. If he done what he did, he could fake it and go along and get paid like he did. Maybe he'd get that blessing back after all. Because maybe the old man wouldn't live to see him come back home and get that blessing. Are you with me?
Yep.
What was he? He was a hypocrite. See, what he wanted, what he's after, he wanted the benefits, but not the obligation that goes with getting those benefits.
Right.
You'll find out that Esau's smarter than you think he is. He just got took twice. How many times have you been took? If you go out and play the fool too many times, you'll have to tithe on that thing. Do you know that? These people tell me all the time, they say, you preachers, that's all y'all preach about is money. No, I don't preach about money, but you will give 10% one way or another.
Come on.
Do you know I had a teacher one time, and when I was just a young, tender thing going through Bible college, he actually told me that God made everybody tithe and everybody was obligated. I said, even lost people? He said, even lost people. And you know what? That old man was right. You are required from birth. Because you know what happens to a man when he dies, and he dies lost? He goes to hell. He ain't paying down there yet. But he's going to come for that great white throne judgment, and God's going to charge him with birth to death. He's going to have a debt laying there for tithing. You say, well, what if he didn't read the Bible? Are you trying to excuse him or you? Which one? You want all the benefits of being saved, but you want the obligation to go with it? Guess what? That goes with it. I've had people tell me, bless their little hearts, I love this part right here, but I do lunch. Listen to this. They say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, you don't have to go to McDonald's to be a Big Mac either. They want the benefits, but they don't want the obligation to go with it. Well, you don't understand. I want to serve the Lord my own way. I think I got you. You know, the benefits, well, not the obligation, goes to them benefits. Because, see, Esau said, he don't like the daughters of Canaan. He looked over them two wives and thought, I married the daughters of Canaan. He's talking about me. Because every time you come to church, you think I'm talking about you. Well, I'm equal opportunity. I was talking about you when you wasn't here, while you are here, and when you don't come back, I talk about you then too. But what you got mistaken is, you got me and God in the wrong place. You got me in God's place and God in my place. You'll hate me because you can't see God, and then you won't listen to me because I'm speaking on behalf of God. You don't like it, so you have to say something bad about me. Well, I know the preacher does this. Guess what? I can give you a laundry list a mile long, and it'd wring your head right off your shoulders. Just the bad things I think. With me? So I thought you was a good man. That's where you're wrong at. There is none good, no, not one. That's a Bible statement, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. He wasn't writing that to the heathen, by the way. That's to the church at Rome. Wow, so saved people's bad people. What are them other people then? Oh, they're mainly good people. Just ask them. And if they get a little dose of religion, they want the benefits to go with it, but not the obligation that goes with it. Another thing gets them is they're willing to serve. They'll come in volunteering for committees and offices and everything else. They say, I want to serve the Lord, but they don't want to give up sins. I had a man come to this church one time and tell me that he was wanting to serve the Lord, but I hindered him. Kind of funny when the girlfriend thing come out and his wife found out about it. Mm. It wasn't me that's hindered him. Mm. Are you with me?
Right.
Hey, listen. The compensation of the hypocrite is, he wants to serve, but he don't want to give up none of them sins. Listen, I've had people tell us that we got all these dress standards down here. There used to be a preacher across town. He's had something that he got out of our Bible Institute where I used to make these guys wear ties all the time. And I did that because they didn't wear ties any other time. I thought we ought to get the standard up for these preachers. Okay? None of them was coming from work. They'd get off work at 3:30, show up here at 7, look like they've been drugged through the mud, ain't done nothing but laid around and take a nap. So I said, all you boys need to wear dress shirts and ties. I put it in writing for them. They wound up with that thing, said, see what he makes his church do?
Right.
Please, it said Bible Institute all over the paper. Oh, I want to serve, but I want to give it the way I do things. They call them sins, remember? And when people started talking about that, they said, well, they got a guy down there. It's a door of that church, so he'll check you out before you go in. We need one, but we ain't got one. We need to check you for the coronavirus, AIDS, and whatever else lost people have right now. Seems like that's killing a lot of people, don't it?
Well, preacher, don't you know that AIDS affects more than sodomites?
Not according to the Center for Disease Control. It's 95% sodomites have it.
We don't like sodomites.
I know. That's why I called you one. That's a convicting word. It comes right out of this book. It cuts going in and cuts coming out at the same time. It's a double-edged sword. Can I let you in on a little secret? A lot of people want to serve God, but they don't want to give it what they're doing to do it. It's a fine line you walk with the Lord when you're trying to serve the devil and serve God at the same time.
Right.
Now watch this. They like Esau, they don't mind the duties, but they don't want to be directed on how to do them. Well, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it my way. You and God wrestle that one out, because I'm going to sit back here and watch the fight, because it ain't going to work out well for you in the end. When people come in and they self-serve and they want to say, I'm serving the Lord and I'm taking on the duties of God, but you do it according to your direction, you'll wonder where God is after a while, and you finally figure out he wasn't in it the whole time. Listen, only the devil's okay with you doing that bit, having duties with no direction. It's kind of like this. If the Lord opens up the opportunity for to serve him, and you come and you start serving him, and you only do it around your schedule, that thing ain't going to work out for you.
Right.
It just won't. Because God is not wanting to be the assistant director to your life.
Right.
Just like he don't want to be the co-pilot in your airplane.
Right.
Or car.
Amen.
What if next time you went on a flight, the captain of that flight that's going to fly that airplane told him other two in that cockpit with him, the navigator and the co-pilot, you boys take the day off. I got this. Would you want to be on that 747? I personally wouldn't, because of one reason. What if something happens to him? You know, brain aneurysms are not, they're not prejudiced. They'll get young, old, white, black, educated, uneducated, all that stuff. Dead in a second. Now who's flying the plane? Guess what? If it's on co-pilot, you'll crash within the hour. Them things like a cruise control, they're not a navigation thing. They're keep you in the road, not keep you where you're going. And suppose that he said, well, I tell you what, I'll give one of you the day off. Hope the navigator knows how to fly the plane in case the co-pilot takes the day.
Yeah.
Don't you hope that too? So I'll show you, I won't fly. So you get in a bus with 50 people and you ain't even got a co-pilot or a navigator. And you think you're going to be safer than that? Find out the statistics. How many people die on the ground versus dying in the air. You won't be talking about taxi. You won't be doing that stuff no more. And here's another good one. I had somebody tell me one time, said, I heard what you said about planes, and I've heard what you said about cars. I'm taking the train to such and such. I was sitting there with a newspaper in a McDonald's with a train wreck. What's that? Amtrak. Went off the track. Here, dummy, read this. God's after you. There's nowhere to hide.
That's right.
If it's your time, it don't matter where you... You can go by plane, train, or automobile. You going.
Come on.
But listen to me. That reminds me of people in the house of God. They want to take on some duties, but no direction from the Lord. And definitely no direction from no human being. You ain't telling me what to do or how to do it. I like you. You cute when you angry. You know that. Hey, what's the problem? They want compensation, but won't do nothing for it. They want paid in their own way. Kind of like these people that say, well, I've got all these high college bills. I want somebody to just forgive those debts. Why? You made them. You made them. We didn't do it. If I want to be good to you and take a load of financial responsibility, that's one thing. But you having people come to my bank and take it out of my check before I can even see it? I don't like it. I ain't voting for that guy, whoever that guy is. Go wind your mama's basement under the tune of $57,000. from a field you can't even enter because there's too many enter it. Oh, wait a minute. I know what the problem is. You had to go to work and didn't like it. That's what it was. I forgot about that. That four-letter word that you don't like to come out of your mouth. But you say all other four-letter words, but you don't like that one. What's that? That's just a habit, old hypocrite. Once paid without being doing nothing. If you'll notice down at verse number 8, Esau wasn't blind. He says there in verse 8, Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. We not only see the compensation, but we see the complication here. And we see literally his hatred come out because he saw that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. If we go back just a couple of chapters, let me see where it's at here. I want you to see this. It's at the end of one of these chapters. It says it right in plain English too. Ah, here we go. Chapter 26, verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite. Hey, I read about them guys today. That's the guys that God says you're going to run out of the promised land. Esau didn't run them out. He married them. Says the Beeri the Hittite and Bashemeth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. It says, verse 35, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Esau knew how they felt. You come back over here and you get down here to verse 46 in chapter 27, verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Jacob, it says, if Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Oh, bless your heart. Now we got complications showing up in this hypocrisy. See, when you lead a double life, eventually they cross. Look here. One crashes into the other one. So what do you mean? Eventually, you're going to mess up out there. And when you're supposed to cuss, you're going to bring up something religious. But when you're over here, when you're supposed to be saying amen, you're going to cuss. Mm. Yeah, boom, complication.
Yep.
That's what'll happen.
Yep.
One or the other will cross into the other one. And then you'll say, well, I just got to quit. Really? Quitting, that'll fix everything. Or will it? Because see, what we have here is hatred showing up in a guy, listen to this, who's supposed to love his brother. We're taught of God to love one another, the Bible says. Why do preachers preach on God as love all the time? Because they got a bunch of haters sitting there. So preacher, ask that liberal crowd. I'm talking about our crowd. Forget them liberals, they ain't listening anyway. What I do notice is this. Somehow, in some way, Baptists get full of hatred, and I don't get it. Are we not taught of God to love one another? Sure, we are. The Bible says that. Where's all this hate coming from? Let me tell you, it's a habit. You need to break it. Listen, I don't know if they make a pill for it. I'm pretty sure the doctor can't give you one for it. I don't know if they make it in liquid form where you can drink it. But I do know to keep on with it, the haters got to drink the Haterade, don't they?
Oh.
Thanks to the Florida Gators University, we got Gatorade. It replenishes the body of nutrients that's lost during athletic activities. Now, that's a scientific study. They did and done that, and they started mixing that stuff on the sidelines. And before they found out about what happened, well, here's these guys winning national championships. How'd they do that? Well, they were still breathing right in the fourth quarter like they was in the first. So I said, we might need to see how they do this, and we can do it too. Now, all of a sudden, they sell it in sugar-free form as well. They do that for Haterade too. So I can't take that sugary stuff. Devil makes it sugar-free. You can have all you can drink. Esau said, you know what? Them daughters of Canaan displease you. You think they displease you? Wait till I go get my next old lady. The Edomites, who the Israel's going to encounter on down the road, they may not have been the greatest in number, but boy, they hated everybody. but they especially hated Israel. Why would the Edomites hate Israel? Because Israel is Jacob and the Edomites are Esau. They never got over it. However many generations you go down before that happens over there in the book of Joshua, when they had to face them people, and when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, however many years this is apart, the hatred's still there like it was yesterday. Yeah. When I was a kid, you used to go out and play as a kid, and you'd get scars on you, stuff would bleed, and you'd eventually have a scab on something. And they'd make you put this stuff on that scab and tell you, quit picking at it. Why should I quit picking at it? Because it will never go away as long as you pick at it. That's hatred. Long as you keep picking at it, long as you keeps doing that stuff, you know what you're going to find in your life? Complications from that hatred. So I can never forgive such and such. Well, that's all fine and good, but as long as you don't, they're not suffering, you are. Here's a man that the complications came because he was done wrong by his mother and his brother. And in his eyes, it seems that daddy's in on it too now. He never forgave them people. Esau died like that. We say he didn't kill Jacob, would run to him later. He just got old. Hatred was still there. These people right now that's in their right mind, but their body's not going right, there in places called assisted living and nursing home, they got grudges against their relatives, still got them. Some of them against their own parents. I preached in nursing homes and had people 80 years old tell me, you don't know how my daddy done me. You can't say that, you young like you are. Oh, it wasn't me that said forgive him, it was God that said forgive him.
Right.
I see people come in, they have never dealt with the people that wronged them. But the problem is not the people. They never dealt with their own heart. You know what the hypocrite's problem is? His problem, literally, is Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and try my... See if there be any wicked way in me. They don't want God to do that. Because God wouldn't have to go 1 millimeter deep and say, oh, I found a problem. It's like these guys that go have these, what do they call them, the heart, what that thing where they stick that thing up and check your heart. They don't get very far. They might not tell you what the problem is, but they see it right then. You go get an MRI done, that nice lady that's in there making you set the big clackety-clack machine, she sees it before the doctor does, but she can't tell you. Or at least they say they can. I believe they could. I know one thing. The MRI people called me and told me what was wrong. I called my doctor. He said, why are you crying? I said, they told me what's wrong. He said, they ain't even told me yet. He said, I speak with them about that. I said, please do. Tell them they hurt my feelings too. Hey, listen to me. The complication is they've never dealt with their heart. God's never dealt with their heart. It's hypocrisy and it's hatred. And hatred will wear a mask and call it righteous indignation, so help you God. How many of y'all ever seen The Lone Ranger? I'm talking about the real one. Black and white, Clayton Moore, Jay Silverheels. Okay. Clayton Moore was so obsessed with that character that he wore that mask all the time outside his house. They had a ruling. He'd come into a place and they thought he was a bank robber. Now, how many bank robbers still wear them type of mask with a toboggan and a little black suit on? You know, none of them. Okay, that's the Hamburglar. That's not real life. So they told him, they said, you can't do this. You can't wear that out in public. A sunglass company, I forget which one it was, got a hold of that thing. You know what they said? How about we design you some sunglasses? It's in the shape of that mask. Boy, they saw the green growing in their pockets over that one. The only problem is the Lone Ranger was not on primetime TV no more. The endorsement didn't go very far. He went back to wearing a mask. 80-something-year-old Clayton Moore coming to place wearing a mask. Are you going to call the law on that guy? Freeze you. Give me all your money, you know. You can arrest that guy. That mask don't cover all the things you think it covers. And that hatred is not buried so far you can't see it. Back when I was a kid and they had brooms, y'all remember them? They told us, don't sweep nothing under the rug. Move that little thing. Walk away from it. Then the next week when you do it, then one day you get called up and they say, can you come a minute? Yeah. Every time I get over here to this piece of the carpet, I walk and I get one of these. You reckon what's under there? You go, I don't know. Now you're a liar on top of hiding stuff. Now you're lying about what you hid. They pull that thing back and, well, who put all that there? And you go, I don't know. And you're the one done it. See, God comes along, pulls back that curtain in your heart and says, who put all this dirt right here? You look like an Italian in a courtroom saying, you know that guy, that dead body? Oh, I ain't never seen no dead body, you know. Oh, no. And it was you that put it there. The hatred this man's carrying, devil didn't put that there. He might have tempted him, but he didn't put it there. Jacob didn't put it there. Isaac didn't. Rebekah didn't. Them two other wives didn't. But Esau sure did. I see the compensation and the complications, and the complications come from hypocrisy and hatred. But then you look down in verse number 9, then went Esau unto Ishmael. You remember that guy? If you go back to chapter 16, he's the baby that Abraham had with Hagar. Hagar was an Egyptian. She was a Hamite. It's very important you get this. God said, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a child, not you're going to have a child. Sarah said, you know what? God's probably on Pluto. He ain't really down here on earth. He don't understand what we're going through. I'm an old lady. I tell you what, Abraham, I've got this figured out. I'm going to give you my little servant girl. You have the baby with her, and we'll help God out. And boy, what a thing. Ever since then, listen, the thing about Ishmael is this. He was born with his hand against every man. And if that crowd ain't fighting us, they'll fight each other. Yep. Everybody's so worried. Oh, well, Russia. You better worry about Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, and all them places. Because they are Ishmaelites and they love to fight. Oh, yeah. Or we got to tell it the Bible's true and say that. Or we got to throw this book out as being a book of hate speech, fairy tales. No, you check history again. What's wrong with history? People are doomed to repeat it that don't study it. What happens when we look at history? Oh, I don't know. Let's just take the last 100 years, for instance. Where's there been a war at the whole time? Was it in Florida, Toronto, Mexico City, or all them Arab nations either fighting somebody or fighting each other? When I was a kid, the big thing is Russia tried to take Afghanistan. Here's a bunch of dudes wearing towels on their heads, whipping those Russians all the way back to Russia, and they didn't know why. You know why? Those guys were sent to fight. Those guys love to fight. These guys had no experience. These guys fought for centuries. They don't care. And we pulled out of there and said, we ain't going to touch you. And you know what happened then? Iraq and Iran, 100-year war, boom, 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 fighting each other. And then the white devil comes back. That's you. And you come back over and put an army base near there, and they attack that. And all of a sudden, they got a common enemy, and they all brothers of Muslimhood and all this other stuff. They can't help it. Now, looking at that, we see Esau, then went Esau unto Ishmael. Now we got a dangerous mix up here. Because he says, and took unto the wives which he had, that's them other two over there. Her name is Mahalath. It says she's the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Naboth, to be his wife. We have literally the habits of a hypocrite. The first habit we saw was the compensation of this hypocrite. We see the complication of it, but then in verse 9 we see the confusion of it. Dealing with hypocrites are always confusing because you try to give them counsel and help them out according to the Word of God because they say they're saved, but when you talk to them, they won't do what you say because they rebel against that, rebel against the Bible, and you're in confusion wondering, what's wrong with these people? You know what it is? They're hypocrites. They got bad habits. And this habit of confusion is they do that thing without really knowing they do it. If you'll notice this, this confusion is based solely on his heritage. I noticed that there would be a mixed multitude coming from the fact that somebody out of the line of Abraham is going to step across that line and be over here with the line of Ishmael. Ishmael is a type of apostate religion. That's what it's a type of. Forget who the people are. In type, that's the people that correct the Bible. That's the people who say that, there could have been two stories of creation. There could have been another people outside the Garden of Eden. That's them. They're apostates. They're so far gone in apostasy, they don't even realize how wrong they are. And the reason why they can't find out the way they're wrong is they don't have one final written authority to go to check themselves out. Somebody asked me one time, said, don't you believe there's people outside of Adam even? No, I don't. I believe this outfit started with one man, and by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and death was passed upon all men for all of sin. And if sin originated with one man, that one man, who is it? What's his name? Then there wasn't no man before him.
Right.
How about that? Either God's right, or somebody who's got these theories is right. There was a horror story on TV one time, and they had a woman villain. You know what her name was? Lilith. I've heard that name before. What show was that? No, forget the show. Lilith was supposed to be Adam's other wife. Now you know why I don't read all them up, the lost books of the Bible. God never gave her no credit at all because she didn't exist. Now you know why the early church rejected such manuscripts as Bel and the Dragon and Tobit and 1st and 2nd Maccabees. How about that again? Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. Didn't Jesus quote the Septuagint? No, the Septuagint had the Apocrypha in it. He wouldn't have touched it. He wouldn't have went a mile of it. But wait a minute, don't the Greek of the New Testament line up with the Greek of the Septuagint? Only on the West Cotton Hort side, son. Remember, they're still the bad guys. So what does that breed? Confusion.
Right.
Who does that? Hypocrites do that.
Yep.
Are y'all so far removed from the Obama presidency, you forgot about hearing about a school shooting or a robbery or a cop killing was going on and the White House press secretary was making a lot of noise, Obama's holding press conference, going to scare off the guns, and in the meantime they're passing bills over here to test fetuses and abort them so they can test them. Bait and switch. You look at this, well, I do this. That's what hypocrites do. For instance, you're going to have a mixed multitude there with a, you know, crossing that line. But the confusion's going to be is how that mixed multitude's going to be raised. You know why Jews and Catholics don't make good marrying partners? Because neither one of them know what to do with the Sabbath or the Bible. Let me say it again. The reason why Jews and Catholics can't marry each other is because they don't know what to do with the Sabbath. That Jew said, that belongs to me. God gave that to us. It says so in the Bible. And they say, well, the Pope told us that we could have it. He said, we the Jews. Little old Southern Baptist girl married a Catholic boy. And he told her, he said, we're going to raise our children Catholic. She said, oh, no, we're going to raise them in Southern Baptist Church. They got to arguing about this thing, and one day she's sitting there watching movies with him, got up to get her a drink of water or something. He said, bring me some tea while you're in there, honey. She said, okay. She said, let me ask you a question. When the priest pronounces that wine and says it's the blood of Jesus, you believe that thing becomes the blood of Jesus? He said, you're taking that too far. It's just we make it in our minds to be that, and it becomes that thing. She goes, okay. Goes on in the kitchen, comes back out, and has a clear glass in one hand, a glass of what looked like tea in another one. She said, I'll ask you a question. She said, you believe, if you believe it in your mind, it becomes that thing, right? She said, well, here's some dirty sock water, but you can make it tea anytime you want to. I said, what is that? It's funny, but it's confusion. If you believe tonight that when you take communion, you make that bread the flesh of Christ, you're a sick individual and you're trying to be a cannibal. That'll confuse your children. Not only admits you got something wrong, you got a screw loose, but there's something wrong with you. If you take that thing, hook, line, and sinker, and say, well, I believe it becomes such and such. Do you really? They're not symbolic. You believe it becomes that? You have, listen, you've got a mixed multitude with a lot of confusion, and the payoff of this very thing is going to be the heritage you turn out in children. We've already looked at that last chapter. You got Abraham, the man of faith, active faith, goes out, walks out, looks for a city and maker whose builder is God. You got Isaac, who stays home all the time. He's got his heritage that comes out. He's got one boy that's a trickster and a con artist, and the other one who goes against everything he says. And they're both rebels. That comes from old passive faith back here. Well, we're going to vote and see if we're going to go to church this morning. I had a man tell me that, Brother Frank. He said, we get up with our family every morning. We vote on Sunday morning. We're going to go to church yet. They showed up here one time. I wanted to have a vote. Get them kids in the house of God and make them go where God tells you to go. You the daddy. Look here. You're the one that puts the bread on the table. You're the one that pays the light bill. You're the one that pays the water bill. You're the one that puts the deodorant on that stinking kid so he don't smell up the whole place. You need to be in charge. You kids don't get too far out because listen to this. I'm telling you this in your best interest. The old man may know something. He may not be as dumb as he looks. He might actually know something.
Right.
I've had people tell me, they say, well, my daddy's unfair. He's got a favorite child. This one did too. You know who suffered for it? The unfavorite child by keeping it in his mind all the time. Don't show your hand, but some of you was raised unfavorite child. You need to get over all that stuff because you know what's going to cause? Confusion in your children. Because you know what you're going to do? Take a guess. You're going to pick a favorite. You're going to have your little Jacob out there. Oh boy, I'm so proud of him. Meantime, he's rebelling all around outside, tricking people out of everything under the sun. And you say, my boy never do wrong. Well, he did do wrong. He did this. Oh, that was just the friends he kept. It wasn't him. Let me intervene in your life and help you. It ain't their friends. It's them. It's them every time. A lot of confusion because they don't see that in their heritage because they think they're perfect. I got a bulletin for you. It just came in. You are not perfect. And neither are your children. And God forbid I tell this, and neither are your grandchildren. Amen and amen. With this mixed multitude, with all the complications with that, all that heritage that comes from not checking it with the Bible will produce one thing that you will never get rid of, and Esau went to his grave with it. It was a cluttered conscience. If your conscience is your guide, the devil will clutter that conscience and you'll make bad decisions over and over. Why would you get like that? You didn't get like that in a day. You got like that in a lifetime. So how long a lifetime? How old are you? I was on a fishing boat one time. I know you never believe this, but went out fishing one day. I can tell you who I was with and exactly where we was in Lake Thickety at. Funny thing, this woman called. Cell phones barely worked back then, but that call come in crystal clear. She said, my mother-in-law's trying to kill me. I didn't know this woman, didn't know who she was, had no idea. My mother-in-law's trying to kill me. She's crawled up under the house, and she's bugged my phones. I've come down here to pay phone to call you because I'm so scared. I thought, wow. I've heard mother-in-law stories. Boy, that tops all of them, don't it? He said, that don't even sound believable. When I met the mother-in-law, poor thing's 90 years old, wears this gown all the time and a thing over her hair. You know, the older women used to wear that stuff. None of y'all ever wear this stuff, right? And a house coat, you know. Sickly old woman. And I looked at the front of that house coat, and I looked at the front of that thing she wore, and I thought, don't look like no dirt's been on that thing, like she's been crawling under no house. And I just let out a big sigh, and I said, nice to meet you, ma'am. And I went on about my business. Thought, boy, I've been lied to up one side, down the other. But the guy on the fishing boat with me talked me into not leaving my fishing trip that day that I'd planned. He said this to me, and it's still right. He said, I don't care what they told you, what story they told you, because I didn't tell him what happened. He said, but they didn't get like that in an hour, and it won't be fixed in an hour. Ain't that something? That's one of the wisest things I've ever heard in the entire time I've been preaching from another human being. It made me think about something. This week, thinking about Esau. How many years did it take Esau to get like this? Do you know? He is 40 when he married his other two wives. You add to that 40, whatever that center column in your Scofield Bible said the time was right then, that's how old he was in Genesis 28. What does it say up there at the top of the page? Oh, yeah. He was old enough to know better is what it says up there in the Greek. And all that confusion it brought about cost him a cluttered conscience, and it marred his decisions. When he saw that the daughters of this, the Canaan didn't please Isaac, guess what he did? He didn't marry another one of them. He went over and got one from Ishmael. You know what you call that in Bible terminology to help you get this thing about a hypocrite? That's partial obedience. Partial obedience. Well, I don't go to the beer joint no more. Really? Do you go to church? I full of hypocrites. There you are, Esau. There you are. Got a cluttered conscience. Well, I'm not one. I go to church, but I'm not one of them fanatics. Hello, Esau. How you doing? You got a cluttered conscience. You're a partial rebel. But that's like having a cup of coffee with just a partial piece of sewage, maybe one drop in it. Still mostly coffee. But it's cluttered with something else. It's corrupt. When people come along and say, well, you don't know how my daddy treated that other one. Hello, Esau. You got to listen. The wisest thing you can tell somebody that's been raised wrong is this. You may be raised wrong. This may be some advice for you. Overcome your upbringing. Rise above it. You're in a new family. If you saved, you're in a new family. Get rid of the cluttered conscience. Get rid of the confusion that comes with it. And don't let your heritage go out and be a something that's just a habit of a hypocrite to raise somebody that's a hypocrite because you don't know nothing else but to do that. Listen to this. I preached this church one time. And on Sunday morning, I preached a message that I wouldn't want to sit under. It was bad. Blood on the walls and guts on the walls. I knew God wanted me to preach that or die. I knew it. That night at that revival on Sunday night when the kids came in, Brother Brian, they looked at me. The kids couldn't look at me in my face. You know why? They're honest. They're loving kids. All they heard was what a dog I was all afternoon. They couldn't look me in the face. So does that bother you? Yeah, when children can't look me in my face, yes. Somebody's been on top of them talking all day long. And apparently, I caused the whole church not to get a nap all afternoon. I slept like a baby. I went to that little prophet's chamber outfit. I don't remember shutting the door. I was asleep. Because you've done what God wants you to do, the burden's off you and it's on them. Left that church that night. Preacher's talking about, I don't know if we need to go another night. I said, why is that? Well, you know, we got such and such going on and this, that. So, okay. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, what is it? I said, you and your wife talk about me today? And he just dropped his head. I said, I thought so. I said, can I ask you something? He said, what? I said, did any of the other people in church call you? Well, they kind of did. I said, you know what you need to do? He said, what? I said, you need to resign right now. You've got a cluttered conscience. I said, everything I said this morning, I said trying to help you. But if it hurts you and you talk about me like a dog, there's something bad wrong with you. He said, we probably need to go another week on the survival instead of another night, don't we? I said, you got it. Get that conscience right and confess it all to God. Get out of the hypocrite business. Get back to the faith business. Be a follower of Christ, not a hypocrite against everything you can find to rebel against. They asked James Dean, you remember that movie he made, Rebel Without a... Well, we so removed from that, we just rebels without a clue. We don't know what we rebel against. We're just going to be a rebel. Hey, listen. Do Do you want to grow up as Esau? You're doing a good job right now. Keep on, you'll make it. Or do you want to grow up like Christ wants you to grow up? See, this book is written, this book right here, this one, is written for your admonition in the Lord to correct you, to instruct you, and to do all this in one thing, righteousness. If this book's supposed to be for you, for your righteousness, and it's written for your warning, here is the warning tonight. So when will I see the fruit of it? Sooner than you want to. Remember them tornadoes that came in last week? You know what happened? I went to go eat at this restaurant like they did. They didn't have no power on the entire side of Spartanburg County over there. I got put out with them. That made me mad. I went to McDonald's, you know, just mad. My other favorite place. But listen, what's going to be bad is all them neighborhoods over there where people's been building things without adhering to the code and covering them up with shingles and everything else. Insurance companies fixing to figure that thing out, just like they did down in Florida a few years ago. Them hurricanes come through and snapped them houses like twigs. They said they were built better. They're supposed to be. And then contractors, you know what they said? We built them right. So you know what the government people did? They're not as stupid as you think. They went to Lowe's, Home Depot, and all these places, and these lumber yards said, can we see an itemized receipt of where these people bought stuff? They were on purpose buying the wrong nails because they were cheaper. You know what Esau was doing? Hiding receipts. It's going to catch up with you. It's going to catch up with you bad. Jesus wants you to live a life of freedom. You can't do that wearing the chains of Esau. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.